This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The Charlottesville City Council will consider a proposal to fund a further study of the feasibility of a streetcar system for the West Main Corridor. On June 16, 2008, Council heard the report of the Streetcar Task Force created by former Mayor David Brown, and at least two councillors expressed support for partial funding of a more detailed conceptual plan. The report was presented by Gary Okerlund, a Charlottesville-based architect and member of the task force.
We're going to try and present the, briefly the sort of outcome of the committee that you appointed, the Mayor's Task Force on Streetcar. And briefly go through some of the points you want to make and the proposals that are there. What I'd really like to do, though, is make a couple observations, I think, or clarifications about a couple things about this. One of it, it's a report. It's been called a feasibility study, but in a way, it's asking you to look at it as a plan that can be looked at over a period of time, rejected, certainly, revised, or whatever you happen to do. Another part of that is that even though you discuss streetcar and that sort of thing, it becomes a subject. The subject is really not the streetcar. It's a tool, and we're really looking at it as something that helps us achieve the thing that we would like to have occur between downtown, the university, and West Main Street, and it seems to be a very good tool to look at. So we're exploring that idea. Another thing is looking at it as the a part of the regional transit authority, the long-term kind of issue for all of that. So it's a very big thing, and I think it's important that this be seen as part of it. But there is some certain logic to it that there always will be, we hope, in the regional plan, of which the downtown university and all that will be part of, and we can think that certainly is here. One of the reasons for looking at it early on is the potential for federal funding in the future. Streetcars are not looked at favorably at the moment, but there's going to be some kind of change. It's being looked at in a lot of detail, and I expect that will change. And what the position is that anyone, it's going to be very competitive, but anyone that has a plan, knows what they're doing, and is in line is going to be better than someone isn't. You may be in a longer line, but you'll be on the top of the line, perhaps. So there's a reason to do this. One of the comments of why we were doing this, where did this sort of start? Well, there were a number of us that were very interested in the idea of that happened. Really, how this started was a group of us were, sort of like concerned about what happens. University, downtown, why West Main Street is the way it is. It's congested. Is there an opportunity other than what we're doing now is with cars? Mostly only and buses. We have a great bus system. They get tangled up in traffic. Is there a solution beyond that for us to look at it? And I've done a lot of work elsewhere when we have been able to find out and look that there's a number of communities that are actually beginning to look and use systems like the streetcar that we're going to discuss tonight. And they're doing marvelous things, not just solving some of the transportation problems, but also creating better places to live. The quality of life issue is really probably one of the key issues. So our question was, do we want to look into this further? Do we want to really see whether there's possibilities for Charlottesville? Charlottesville is small in comparison to these other cities. So the key question was, is there a possibility for a streetcar or something like that within a city our size? Well, the only way we can find out that is to ask. So we did kind of put together a group with the city's help that met, who called it to plan a transit summit. And what we did is look across the country, and we knew who some of these people are, to try and get some of the best minds that have looked at this broadly everywhere, to get them to come here for a week, which they did, and give us their opinion about whether we should do something like this or not. Because obviously if it doesn't make any sense, you don't do it. The outcome we have is that, yes, we could, and we'll go through that, but don't you look at things like for downtown, a bus rapid transit or a light rail system. But you can look at a streetcar, which is a much smaller element, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. So that left us with, okay, we could take a look at that. Maybe it has some hope for it. But what do we do next? And then what we needed to do is to find out in more detail whether or not this could be useful. So we needed to get a technical look at it. We needed to go see some of the places that have these and see if they make any sense, and develop a kind of a communication package for doing it. And we put in a grant proposal to the Blue Moon Fund, who funded that, and that's and some of the things that we did. Let me see, I need to get here. Some of the elements that we've been discussing tonight: Transit Summit, the ACT program, which is basically a part of this, the technical preview that we've done it, and the site visits. Those are some of the first things that we really did. And this is the summit that refers to, basically they said, we are being threatened by traffic and we should be pursuing these kinds of things. And this is strategically important because they do look at it as part of a regional network. It's not don't look at it just as a streetcar, but look at the entire network as it occurs. We did then brought in a second order technical look at it. Somebody that knows a lot about this was part of the Portland experience to look at this kind of situation and see, well, is it physically viable to do it? Can we do it? Can we run it from downtown, university, wherever it happens to be? And does it physically work? And our conclusion was, yes, it can. It's got its modest difficulties. It has no fatal flaws to it. This is the kind of the thing we look at. And it should be looked at in terms of how to enhance the bus service we have now, bearing in mind that it could trigger into a streetcar kind of station in the future, and also address the idea of an educational process. So after this kind of technical look at it, we took a group, you'll recognize some, that went to, and there's one or two here, Mr. Mayor, at the time, to Portland to look at the Portland streetcar, to experience it, meet with the people there to find out what they felt about it and how we felt it might look. We are a small community, so it is different, so we have to look at does it seem to fit. And we had a pretty positive effect with the various people that that went on the trip. One of the things we did visit Portland, Oregon, which has there really only two streetcar systems in the country operating right now, but there are 35 being planned and are underway. This is an area in Portland called Jameson Square, and it's an area that is more or less brand new with housing and that sort of thing, predicated on the streetcar. And I think of this next picture is what I think it is now. And it's it has grown around it. The streetcar is a major element to it. It's paid for many of the kinds of uses that are there. It's encouraged the people that live there with a much, much lower use of automobiles than is typical. And then we also visited Tacoma, Washington, which has the other streetcar. I had a very nice reception to them. We looked at their system. This was meeting with the mayor. They're very gracious, took us to lunch, and David's here somewhere with us. Brown has his key to the city that he received when he was mayor there, made out of glass, which was interesting because they are glass center of the country. But so some of the systems, and what are they that we should be looking at? And we sort of undertook an evaluation of what makes sense. It's pretty straightforward. One is what we have now. We've got a bus system. It's a good bus system. It works well within it. So what are the other kinds of systems that might work in a city like Charlottesville? We should look at bus rapid transit. Bus rapid transit is a basically an upgraded version of a of an express bus. It goes further apart. It goes more rapid. It is primarily, in a nutshell, is a commuter train. And a commuter train is not the same as downtown. The other, of course, major one that's been very popular is the light rail. A light rail is a much heavier duty travel, very comfortable, does all the kinds of bells and whistles that you have. But it, too, is primarily a commuter line. It likes its distances further. It goes fast. So it's great for doing that. Not particularly so good for working locally. The other one is the streetcar, which we're discussing here. It is the closest thing to an examination of what a streetcar. It is a rail-based thing. It's powered with overheads, which I'm sure some I don't like. It's a very, very energy efficient kind of thing. It runs on tracks. That's why it does that. It's pollution sources are remote, whatever they are, but there's none there. They're very quiet, and you can live with them. So they have a. This is the two systems are really quite good in the system. And I think in the future, if we want to look at this, and it's a solution to the overhead wire kind of thing, this is a big new system that's in Bordeaux, France, which is doesn't have overhead wires, has a system that runs with its power underneath it, which is activated when the train is over it, so it's very safe all the time. And so technology keeps changing, so this can be nice. And these things, you'll see lots of them in Europe. They do this simple thing, and you can, because there's nothing, you can put grass in between them if you want them in the park. They can really do it. So they can be very, very easy. And I did want to point out that the scale of things when it comes to a community, how big it is and what it is. That Portland has a really great light rail system, which is bigger. A streetcar is about two-thirds the size of a light rail system, size, weight, and length is small. They liked it because the light rail was good, but it's sort of like a train in town as opposed to a streetcar, so it's much smaller. So that was the sort of fun. Hey, there. This is, in a nutshell, looking at the various kinds of things, and again, I won't go to the whole kinds of, we are here. This is the different scales of cities, large scales, and these are the kinds of transit systems in here. In a nutshell, we can do certain kinds of things, which are buses, express buses, and streetcar. Light rail we shouldn't do. We can, although it could happen if we have heavy rail trains, we could do it if it's part of systems. If that's our bread and butter for what a city our size can do. Larger cities can do more, others less. So that sort of gets the parameters around what size a system one can do, and then you can sort of look at what you want it to do. This is essentially what a light rail system would do. It has large stops in between. It sometimes has activity around the various stops, but it doesn't affect much in between. A circulator, which you're talking about, is a downtown thing where things are maybe two, three blocks together. Their sphere of influence is closer. You really have a linear kind of, this is really what West Main Street is and what the city and the university are in terms of how they actually work. So then just a quick look at the systems itself. This is Portland Streetcar, which is on this map, you can see, is the blue line. It's about 4 miles long, a paired loop that goes back and forth. Anchored at one end by Portland State University and the other by a major hospital, and it runs in the street. It's very popular. You can see if we're at street running, it runs with the traffic. These are wider streets than we have, and they have a paired runway. But they do go down the middle, down the side of the street, I should say. And they're partially dedicated in the sense that cars know they're not supposed to be there when the train is there, and that seems to work somehow. But it does share traffic with others. Oops, I didn't move too far. And what it does is has a streetcar line, and then it has it stops that bulge out. And these are at raised so that it's, you can directly walk onto them and with no particular problem. Oops, went too fast here. This is probably one of my favorite ones. This is a... basically, a street, a cafe and a street serving this thing, sitting right next to a streetcar. The streetcar is very quiet, very smooth. If you sit next to it, try that on a bus. It wouldn't really do it. I mean, it's not here to do that. So it's kind of a popular sort of thing to do. There are some things that we know about of having early warnings about when schedules and arrivals and things like that are. It also does things that make handicap access extremely quick and easy, which it isn't now. So often as on-paid or on-board ticketing and that sort of thing. And it's easy to construct in the sense of a train. The track can be put down for this in a street, and it's, as I remember, it's one block every 2 weeks they can build it. So it can really be done quickly and maintain traffic. So it has to do because it has a very shallow slab kind of condition. And this is the Tacoma, which is very similar in size to ours. It's a mile and a half long. It's in part, has a transit dome center. It comes back. It has several, you know, key spots along it. That's a sort of a picture of it. Quite similar. It again runs in the middle of the track. Some of it's dedicated lanes. Some of it's shared. Then the kind of the major thrust of why we're here at all is what can this kind of thing do to help improve community and quality of life. This is called transit-oriented development. Slightly higher density, much more mixed use. major pedestrian amenities, public spaces, and access to other modes, et cetera. This is the kind of thing that this can redo, and there's plenty of examples and becoming success stories in other communities of how a streetcar can actually do this, and it's doing it. Portland, others, many are looking at it. So a couple of case studies, and again, I'll go through quickly. This is Portland. This is the whole development area that is here. You can see it has part of the streetcar line. The streetcar line is there because the business community wanted it and asked for it and actually funded it for the most part. And so some of the elements in it is it protected some of the resources that are there, mixed uses of buildings. Probably one of the most interesting ones, this is Pearl Court. This is low-income housing, right in the middle of large areas of condos. So it's really a mixed-use thing. It's been attractive for both. It's happened, and it's much much activity in terms of the streetcar lofts, people living there. The number of, it's an extreme concern. I believe that the, if I'm not right there, was it $32 billion of development approval in areas like this in Portland based on pushing that. Not that we want that here. Again, Tacoma has a center that brings not only a streetcar, its buses, but its commuter rail thing all together in one area that is revitalizing the that particular area. It's also connected to parking and a bus system, all related to the Tacoma. This is just some pictures of it, what it looks like. It's station. And probably kind of the one of the interesting ones, probably because we're a university community, and this is one. Portland State University is a Portland's premier university, and it has been very supportive of its transit system and the idea of the streetcar. In fact, when it was building this building, the streetcar was being proposed. The streetcar goes right through the building, and it links key kinds of things. Located at the corner of what's a much larger campus. And you can see in this instance of how the streetcar comes, here is a major gateway, lots of activity and that sort of thing, and as it moves. So it's a key part of the, this is a picture of it actually, in between the two buildings that are there now as it travels through. So for us, we'd look at the feasibility of locations for this with the help of the transit planner that we were talking about. So we looked at, in this map, very rough, but you can see at this end of it is the transit center. This is the intersection with JPA. This is the intersection with Emma Street and University. This is the route being talked about is that one, primarily, with the idea and the discussion in the newspaper was that it would be nice for it to go to Barracks Road. Which it would. But I think in clarifying the committee's view that we really were thinking that it needs to be a catalyst project, a pilot that says, okay, we can do this, it can do this, and if people like it and wants to go, fine. And we want to examine that kind of thing. If we can work with the university and if it can work, fine, that's good too. And that would be a third step, but don't limit that. So I think the article in progress the other day was good, but it kind of looked at that was the bottom line, or our bottom line is the 1.3 mile, I think, in the committee to have that looked at. And I won't go through. There's some certain different ways you looked at. There's configurations for way to work that they could be revised, how it works. That's got to be done in the next phase of it, but there is really no reason that there aren't ways to work out some of those kinds of things. Then just in terms of looking at the intersection, which is delightful, we're just having a long discussion about that with the Sacagawea area, and we did some kind of test to say here's sort of the density of what's there now, the buildings in the street, how some infill can actually develop that kind of thing using the proximity of a streetcar to embellish that. And it can then show how that can actually infiltrate. And then just giving that as a three-dimensional thing, that diagram right there really has the kind of density that supports transit. So we're really not talking about, there's always the idea that you've got to have 9 or 20-story buildings on it. That's really not true. 3 to 4 or 5 support something like a streetcar itself. So on the task force itself, just let me do a quick summary of some of the things that we talked about. The recommendations divide themselves into basically two fairly large things, which is engineering and actually then the planning and design of something like that. Some of the steps that have to be taken certainly is getting the goals together, really make sure this thing fits within the regional context of things, and make an emphasis on how does it do it in the green sense. Is it a sustainable thing compared to other choices? What does it do as an environmental choice compared to other things? And then the key elements, which I won't go into any detail, the engineering components, the route planning, finding out where the barriers are, finding out where the route should go, what the phasing may be, and considering how the upgrades of existing transit kinds of things can fit that. Then there's the technical things that need to be done. We need to figure out the street section, such should it be in the center, on the side, in the middle, where should it, how to go, how does it configure other things, how does it then deal in impact with utilities. Then, of course, the big one in that kind of thing, with the shortest words with the longest, biggest impact, is really the cost. What does it take to do this, both in capital to build them and in operating? But in terms of the capital, there's several ways to do it. One is, we talked about earlier, the federal government can actually have its program, and hopefully that'll key in, and that could trigger it in. That's a bit problematic. The other is a local thing where we do it ourselves, find a way to do it, work all the tools. We've got a report full of all kinds of techniques that can be done, but there needs to be a lot of work. But it's kind of one example, I think, it's worth looking at. And there are other ways to do it. Was, again, how Portland did this more or less themselves. And what they did is, and at the important point is that there's not one silver bullet that tells you how to do it. And not that we would do it, but they upped the parking rates in all their parking garages and bonded the sum of it, and that paid for half the capital of it. It also used dramatically amount a local improvement district, and another one that we can do if we want. It's able. It's on the legislature. It's tax increment financing. These were key pieces of theirs, plus a lot of others. So this is sort of the do-it-yourself model, do it local. The other one would be Portland, which was there because it was part of a regional $3 billion bond issue that was passed. And they were the first recipient of the part of it, so that built them. So theirs came free. And so, of course, there's all kinds of hybrids of ways of doing that in between. So then in terms of the other side of that equation would be the development analysis. It's really, let's find out what's there, and a lot of this has been done. It's really a matter of pulling it together. What's the existing development that's there? Do we really have a strong enough vision? We have lots of plans, lots of ideas. Can they put together a vision that actually can guide this thing? What is the potential build-out because of that vision along the routes that we're talking about there? What are the parking and planning strategies that are there, and very importantly, what could be the tax contribution from the build-out of these kinds of things that could go into either capital or operating kinds of things. We need to find out the ridership existing, what it is now, potential, and how it could be projected based on the build-out. Then finally, do we have to do anything organizationally in terms of ordinances? Should there be changes to the ordinance that facilitates streetcar locations, for instance? And how should it be operated, ultimately? Is it CTS, is it an organization? How does that actually happen? So I think the general conclusion was, and all this, they would agree that the city should retain the necessary consultants that need to do this. This is stuff people locally can do, some to do, but you need the experts to deal pointedly to the things that we need. This can mean city does nothing and it hires a bunch of consultants, which is that model. You fund the entire thing by the city. City can work out city and consultant collaboration teams to help put this together, and the city and private funding arrangements certainly can be made, public-private partnerships and donors. And I will say there's some real interest in this last one in terms of the potential for matching situations, where if the city were to match part, you can get a match for the other part for half of what's being talked about in the $200 to $300,000 figure over a period of time. So that's sort of where we are in that, and and sort of recommending that. And that's, of course, you always look backward because we do have the old streetcar at one time. Here it is in front of the rotunda. And Todd, we need to thank for all of his help on this. Excuse me, did a simulation that says, oh, here's, we just transferred the Portland car and stuck it in front of the, on West Main Street to take a look at it. So that's, I think, the gist of it. I know that Frank Stoner is here, and he would like to say a word, if you may, to some of the things that are happening. He's been part of the committee, supporting it, and looking at it, and is also a developer. There was a sense of the needs for what this can actually do.
My comments are relatively brief. My name's Frank Stoner. I live at 240 Chestnut Oak Lane in the county, but I have property interests in the city, and one of those property interests, in fact, is on West Main Street. And I've been talking to Gary for a number of years about West Main Street and the issues on West Main Street, and tonight I'm really here to ask you to give serious consideration to the funding of the additional work that needs to be done to establish the financial and engineering viability of this project. In addition to that, I would go one step further to say that I think the West Main Street corridor needs a parking study as well, because I think that's integral to the overall concept. I think there are, I can't speak for other property owners on West Main Street or other members of the development community. I can tell you that I think if the city will take a leadership role in funding this, I think private funds will come along. And whether it's matching, I'm less certain about how the financial structure should work. But the good news is I did some quick math tonight, and while you were talking about renovating the mall, I figured out that for less than half the cost of the special order bricks that you think you need for the mall, you could fund this entire study. And so I'd encourage you to think about that. There's 135,000 square feet of brick on the mall, and I gather the additional cost is about $4 a square foot, so there's $520,000 worth of cost there that apparently everybody supports. I would submit to you that West Main Street is a very fragile corridor. Progress has been made over the last 20 years, but it's been intermittent. It's been at a level that is far below expectations in terms of mixed-use urban density. And I think a streetcar has demonstrated in the cities that it's been built in, it's been demonstrated to be a huge catalyst for private investment and development. And for that reason, I think it's worth the $200,000 investment to study it. Let's see. I guess lastly, I would submit to you that the study is really should not be about finding the most affordable transit solution for our community. The streetcar is more than efficient transportation. It's really a symbol of who and what we want to be. And I think Charlottesville is progressive in so many ways that I'd hate to see us pass the opportunity to demonstrate to both our own community, those outside the community, and those who come visit our community that we are progressive from a transit standpoint and progressive from an environmental standpoint. And so I hope you'll give it serious consideration.
Questions, comments?
Well, I'll go ahead and start off. I had the opportunity to sit on the task force, and I know I'd talked with Mayor Norris last week, and I guess we talked at the time, but perhaps linking this to the whole idea of a regional transit study, and I guess after talking to some people, my mind has somewhat changed that maybe we should go ahead with the thought in mind, and if we want to be prepared in the event that the feds release some money to do this, we would probably be in a better position, I guess. At least that's what I'm hearing. If we already have the study done, we can move ahead quickly, where if we have not done that study, we wouldn't be in the best position to compete. And I guess the other thing that intrigues me is the possibility of maybe some private-public partnership to help fund this. Maybe the city would fund this, perhaps, on a 50-50 basis if some money could be raised somewhere to do this. So I would be supportive, I guess, of doing that, which kind of changes what my thoughts were earlier in the week, and or earlier last week, I guess I should say.
I had a question from Mr. Oakland about this 1.3 miles. What kind of cost figures are you talking about in general?
I'm sorry, which is that?
1.3 miles, the first phase. What kind of ballpark figures are you talking about?
Oh, that's a, well, the ranges that we're looking at in terms of cost go from $3 a mile to $70 a mile. But I think we've been using a figure of similar in Portland because of its street of somewhere between probably 18 to 20. I think we've been rounding out average, so it's about 18 to 20 million a mile, so it'd be a little over.
So about 30 million.
Mm-hmm. 20 minutes.
So what, 30 million for mile, 1.3 miles?
Well, it'd be 22 million or 23, okay. Whatever 1.3 times 22 is at this hour of night.
Well, I just want to follow up Mr. Talaferro, who was in the task force, and he knows more about it than I do. And I've been thinking about it just to give you a perspective. Interchange of Lower Creek Parkway and bypass is $30 million. For that price, you could have whole first phase one of streetcar. So you should think in that perspective. And if you really are serious about transit and being, not only transit, but I think I see it as a more possibility for catalyst for development of a space street. And which will, my understanding is that you get up to 4 to 5%, five times the investment in transit in taxes over years. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that perspective to you, for you to think about. And we have talked about good transit systems and good environmentally clean transit systems, and I think this will meet those requirements. And I also agree with Mr. Talaferro that we should do the next phase, but on a matching basis if we can find private partners. And my understanding is that there are private partners willing to match our commitment, if you are willing to make some commitment.
I'd like to add just, you can also throw the Western Bypass in at $70 million a mile, and the our Hillsdale Drive thing is $30 million for a mile. So anyway, they're bringing cars in. They're necessary, but
The cost per mile, say, in Portland, Oregon, which was $11.5 million per mile, those are 2001 figures. Are they adjusted at all for the...
No. Those are old figures. That's why they've been adjusted. They're what, that's 15, 12 years old, 10 years old, I guess, a fight budget. So I think most of the numbers we're getting now are going to be above 15, let's say. And I do want to clarify one thing that was discussed in the paper. Was talking about that per mile figure. That per mile figure includes the track, and includes the cars, and includes the maintenance facilities, all of those things. That's part of that kind of figure. So other than operating costs, it covers most of the cost of it.
Any other comments?
I have a question. There was a comment made in the earlier part, and first man is by the public, which seemed like that was a couple of days ago, Neil. But the concern came up whether or not, you've learned from other cities whether or not this is bike friendly. And you did talk about the overhead lines. Can you explore that a little more as well?
The bicycle thing, sure. I think it raises some issues. You have to still do that, although... one of the things that we did find in some areas that are looking at it, that one thing this does, which a lot of people in cars don't like, once you put the transit in and you do other things, it slows traffic. And once it slows down enough, there are some people in the bicycle community says, I can then go with traffic. Traffic is going the same 20 miles an hour with me. That works all right. Some disagree with that, so I don't know what the answer to it is. I guess the easy answer for the overhead wires thing was we can call up Bordeaux and see if they've sent us their system over here, the one you saw on the slide, but no overhead wires. But also wanted to pass out, when we did visit Portland, and we didn't really talk about the overhead wires, when we did come back, a lot of people did not find them particularly interesting. And part of the reason I think that's true is that we always think of overhead wires around here. They usually look like logs, you know, the trees. These things are part of the street furniture. They're very thin. They're very light. And most people don't find them particularly offensive. And certainly parts of Portland are very, very historic in the sense of what's there. So it's a perception kind of thing. I think it sounds worse when you talk about it than you experience the place with it. So that's good.
Well, I had the privilege of traveling with Mr. Oakland to Portland and kind of seeing them. And I will agree, the issue with wires, I don't think anyone notices wires. I think they kind of blend into the background. I don't think that visual aesthetic is a particularly significant issue. And I also believe it does, a lot of people ride a streetcar, and it certainly does appear to have a track record of stimulating development. I definitely agree with Mr. Stoner that on West Main Street, the streetcar by itself is not all we need to do, that we would also need to invest in parking, you know, because I think that's, you know, if you really want to make that a dense, mixed-use area, you'd have to have a place for people who have cars who aren't on West Main Street, where they can put them. The problem I have is just a cost, and you know the places that have done them are had funding sources we don't have, and I think that you know Portland's big. The reason they were able to get pay for half of it by raising their parking fees is because they have a lot of parking spaces. You know, they have a big downtown. It's an urban area. And so, so to me, the issue is how much is it worth to invest in something that we may never be able to afford and they may not ever be a funding stream for that, because I don't believe, I have trouble imagining us paying for this ourselves. So I do agree with that. If we're doing this, we're doing it in order to position ourselves for a future where there is a federal funding stream, and conversations I've had just with, you know, people who seem to know more about these things than I have, is that there are other areas with more people and more density that are more likely to be at the front of a list than a city of 40,000 or a community of 100,000. You know, there's other places where you can move more people and get more cars off road. So. You know, I don't find myself tremendously attracted to investing a couple hundred thousand dollars in something where I just have concerns that we're not going to head in that direction. I don't think this study addressed what happens in the on the corner. You know, I think that's a very tight fit, and I think that a streetcar that just goes to the intersection of JPA and Main Street, I'm not sure where that gets you. I think it needs to be able to expand and go past University Corner, and I'm not sure how that works. You got sidewalk on the other side, maybe.
Well, yeah, I'd like to address that. That's really one of the things that the study would ask. We asked some of the experts out there, can we deal with this university without ruining the lawn in front of the rotunda and turning around down the walls? And they said, yeah, there's ways to do that. The bridge is probably more critical than the other. And their feeling was, in both instances, that actually with some timing of lights, et cetera, that the streetcars could be doubled up and go in traffic for that couple of blocks. But we won't know that until we ask to try it. And that's what this is asking. I know it's tough. It's got those two elements to it. But it's also the most critical place to go. You're absolutely correct. And sooner or later, it needs to do that. The other place is very appealing, and the university's been interested in it and talked about it. They would like it to go... and agree that they're interested in the idea that it actually goes down to the intersection of
a barracks road because the Art Center going there and the parking garage to look at, and tying into that and tying into downtown was very appealing to them. That's nice. So, but we're stuck. We're a bunch of amateurs trying all this out, and it raises, you know, some questions. But those are the things that this is, you know, aimed at, trying to find out what will happen.
Well, I'll admit I had a hard time visualizing this because my idea of a streetcar just comes from that old Rice-A-Roni commercial. We saw the guy in the streetcar in San Francisco. So to have that vision and then apply it to the city of Charlottesville, it seems kind of abstract to me. However, I do believe that this needs to be a part of the entire regional transit study, and that by exploring this, I want it to be explored in terms of a larger system to include where actually people go. What would this look like if we went to PVCC or up to Pantops or further down 29? Or even if you're going to go up Main Street, can you continue down Ivy Road to the North Ridge so you can actually connect the hospital to the North Ridge Clinic so there's some connection to where people go? In terms of the potential funding, in order to maybe get some federal funding, would the Regional Transit Authority need to be in place for all that to come into play as well?
I'm no expert on that. I don't think so. There are plenty of people doing that now without, you know, there aren't that many transportation authorities, as you all know, from around that are good models. I think it's certainly going to help if you have a broader picture. But I think what we were talking about in the streetcar, and I think we were very clear, yes, indeed, it would do all those things. Ultimately, you would like it to go out to 64, you know, any sections and intercept people and go to PVC and do all, you could do all of this. It would be a wonderful thing. It may not actually be a streetcar. It might be a BRT, I think 29. Those are all legitimate things. It could work, and how it grows and what it does is something else. But I think what we're finding is that the streetcar was probably the best fit when it got to the downtown from the university to there. That's up for grabs, but that's certainly the words we've got from people that know a whole heck of a lot more about it than we do. So.
Because I wanted to expand the image beyond beyond the hopeful development of West Main, because I think that's a separate issue in and of itself in developing
that area too. Yeah. But I think that's what the Regional Transit Authority is going to, that's one of its jobs, will be to create that kind of vision for us all in the region, and we see this as just a piece of it.
So how does it then make sense if we're pursuing a study of transit technology, funding, feasibility, routes, et cetera, for the region as a whole, or at least the urban area as a whole, how does it make sense to not weave this study and this conversation into this broader study, given that we're also studying feasibility, financing, routes, technology for the streetcar?
Well, the only thing I think of is time. You can move it faster. If we begin now, we'd be better prepared to do it. I just offhand don't see what this would produce that wouldn't fit a Regional Transit Authority plan for this. I can't imagine it working, not having a logical connection for downtown and the university as part of our region. And there seem to be a limited number of choices. I think once you get beyond that, then all those questions are wide open. The idea of doing a catalyst or pilot project for that seems to make some sense. You could put it, could certainly put it off to a point like that. But
I'm not necessarily talking about delaying. I'm just talking about trying to weave them together. For instance, if we're going to be looking at a bus rapid transit system, which there's been a lot of talk about from 29 North into town, why then would somebody, why would we want a system that has bus rapid transit from 29 North down to Barracks Road and then expect somebody to hop off the BRT and hop onto a streetcar? Why not just run a BRT all the way along?
Well, because the BRT system isn't really very cost-effective in a street like ours, and they're big. It's a bus. Mm-hmm. And it's really, and it's redesigned and paid for to stop every mile. And we're 1 mile, so it doesn't, it's kind of the wrong. That doesn't mean ultimately you couldn't do it with that, but there are certainly other compelling reasons, because of the efficiency of a streetcar compared to any kind of rubber tire thing that turns any kind of thing is huge. You know, if you're really talking about a green solution, I mean, a BRT is still a bus. It can be quieter. And in fact, one of the things that we had heard, that if you did all the bells and whistles for some of these BRT things, they would cost the same as a streetcar. So you're really, it's a qualitative issue that goes with it. I think there you could put it up, but I would think that the Regional Transit Authority is going to be a way down the way, and I'm not sure this couldn't be a help, be an incentive, that this is what we're doing. And it's got to start somewhere. As they say, any no transit system is born whole. You know, it comes by start. So I'm going to be an advocate of a catalyst project. You come in and fit something in there and see what happens. I think every system I've known has always done a piece of it. And it's very interesting. There's been lots, and in every instance, there's always been a tremendous reaction against it before it's done. And you know, it sounds like the mall here. There was an incredible reaction we built against it. Now try and get rid of it. And that would be the case certainly in Portland, certainly in Tacoma. In fact, I think one of the things that we censored and are out there is the immense pride people had in that as part of their community. They really, really knew it, and that was extremely important to them.
Well, I would like to suggest that we ask our staff to come back, because we don't have anything to support tonight or concrete to respond to, but ask our staff to come back with a proposal that would meet the goals that you've spelled out here in terms of the next steps for the streetcar feasibility study, that would make a clear connection to the work of the Regional Transit Authority so that we're not working at cross purposes, and that demonstrate what kind of matching support, financial support, that we can generate from the private sector to leverage the city dollars, and then give us something concrete that we can respond to. Is that, I don't know, Mr. O'Connell or Mr. Watterson, or that's something you can come back to us with if that's council's pleasure?
I think you may be right in saying that maybe we can wait another meeting, but I would hope that it will not be delayed to the point that it will be just get into bureaucracy in that figure.
Oh, man, I think it could be done next meeting.
I would be if that could be that.
No, we've got to have it done Tuesday, so that's impossible.
Well, meeting up. Maybe the first meeting in July.
We just need a proposal. We don't have anything in writing we can respond to or vote on.
Unless that all exists. I mean,
you have a scope of work of a...
It needs to be a scope of work done from that. Is what do you want to do in specifics?
You have a scope of work.
We have an outline for one. All it needs to be is have the kinds of...
In the near future. Done.
Maybe you can share with the staff. I would be very supportive of a city matching up to $100,000 for 50% of the cost of the study. I hope you can get some data on that.
And the other question is where the money will come from out of the city budget. It doesn't have to be for the next meeting necessarily, but I agree that we don't want to delay it indefinitely. I mean,
maybe a meeting after that, maybe you can have.
That's something you can pull together, work with our staff to pull together?
Work with staff on that, yeah. Okay. I'm sure we can.
I'm just sitting here trying to think of the different elements. If we're not having a discussion until, sounds like, the end of the summer about a regional transit authority, how we weave that into this discussion, if it's going to be within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
But this will be
like an element, if you want to try to bring them together. Maybe I'm missing something, you all add to it. But then you got the scope issue, you've got trying to weave it in with the regional transit authority discussion.
I'm not meaning to make this more complicated, because clearly there's already some challenges to try to weave these things together. I guess I would let you know, if you're not aware of it, that the MPO is trying to schedule a joint city-county work session for late July. Now, that would be an opportunity to speak about the strategy for working with the state legislature on funding mechanisms and authorizing a regional transit organization. There will also be, I think, a progress report on the regional transit study. I guess what I would suggest is that the way things are going right now, the regional transit study will actually be in the lead relative to any kind of streetcar study. So that study is going to be speaking about things like conditions of corridors and the appropriateness of different types of transit services in corridors. And we already know enough to know that this West Main corridor is one that having a higher order of transit solution is appropriate. And streetcar would fit amongst several possible solutions to do that. So I don't think that what you're going to be receiving in terms of a regional transit study can fully incorporate, nor is it intended to talk about mode types. So I think it will be a platform from which you can then make sure that any kind of streetcar study you may underwrite fits with it. I don't think there's going to be any compatibility issues in that regard because, again, the regional study is going to be done first.
I think that we could do the study and still fit in the regional context, but the process must be decided sometime. And at least trolley would not be good for PVCC because it's a different scale of things. This has more stops. Maximum in my mind, I can think of this is from downtown to Fashion Square or Barracks Road. This is all I can think of. And then it'll hook up with the rest of the system.
I guess something that I would underline that Gary said is that one of the things that's going on in the West Main corridor is there is a need to look at development. And the streetcar is as much a transportation tool, a method of conveyance, as it is a way to leverage redevelopment in that corridor. And that development angle, perhaps more than sort of transportation characteristics, has more or at least as much to do with why that corridor and perhaps some other corridors in the community, the streetcar isn't an optimal type of solution. I hope that makes some sense.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Well, the streetcar's got these two components. One is about simply getting people from here to there, which is certainly what we're trying to do with our bus system now. But the way that the streetcar is different is that by investing in the streetcar, you're going to motivate private development in a corridor that needs that development. Now, there may be some other corridors that the council wants to look at, but sort of casting about right now, this seems to be the optimal corridor with that in mind.
Okay.
I would encourage staff to work on some scope of services for this study like this and come soon to us, not wait for another 6 months.
Okay. So do you have a sense of what we're looking for, Mr. O'Connell? Sort of. We'd like to see...
I guess if the interest in the private sector is there, if there's a scope of work that's been outlined already, we'll try to make the connection to the Regional Transit Authority. We'll see how we put it together.
Okay.
The private sector contribution, the first time I heard of that was yesterday afternoon.
Right.
So we'll see if Mr. Stoner can pull together $100,000 worth of investors.
Right. He could write us a check right now. All right. Well, thank you all, and we'll bring something back that we can respond to and see if there's support for moving it forward.